direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, your new favorite podcast. Guys, we're back. John Sandy's here. The lovely Justine is here. Babyface himself. Almost called you Jake. Patrick is here. Jake is not here.
Somehow it's a little bit lighter. I feel like we need him.
So, first of all, we want to give a big shout out to our guest last week, Rick Solom. That was a fantastic show. Probably one of the best we've ever done.
Okay,
not because you guys weren't here. But it was just a great, John, what did you think of that?
Oh, he was amazing. That's one talented guy.
Okay, so as someone who wasn't here and who has listened to that episode.
Oh, what'd you think?
I have two things. I definitely think it's because we weren't here. And the music was fantastic. It was a great show.
It was very funny because Rick, I've been asking him to come, and he's always like, well, he wanted to. He really wanted to, but he was always worried that he was going to be, he wasn't going to have anything to talk about. But he's so full of stories, and we just scratched the surface.
I know. It turns out every story he had was mind-blowing.
Yeah, we just scratched the surface. He's a really interesting guy. And I knew you two would get along, and I knew you were going to want to pick his brain about all this stuff. And he's just one of the nicest people I've ever met in my whole life.
Yeah.
Super nice. So, but in my haste to praise him, I forgot to mention that you can find Rick. Just go to – look online. He has YouTube videos up. So he has a YouTube channel.
There you go.
So Rick Solom, S-O-L-E-M is how he spells it. And if you want to get the CD of the music that you hear on the podcast, the name of that album, he made it with a drummer named Phil Block, who we mentioned on the show last week. It's just called Shakedown Mambo. So if you just Google Shakedown Mambo, it'll take you right to the site where you can buy that album.
It was so much fun to listen to John nerd out.
Yeah, John was...
he was just like a kid in a candy store. It's like, wait, what? You were with who?
You knew Dr. John?
Holy shit!
Oh, what? Tell me more. I know, I was like hanging on every word. What did he do? And then what did he say?
Well he's one of those, Rick is one of those guys that he just appreciates, even if he doesn't, if it's not his thing, he appreciates certain things. Like, we would have these long discussions about hip-hop, and he would ask, who should I listen to? You know, what's this? And I would just, and he would go listen to it.
He's like, genuinely curious.
To his credit, he would say, wow, this is really cool. I like this stuff.
Or, you don't get too many open minds like that.
Yeah. And he's, you know, and his musical knowledge is just amazing. He knows a lot about a lot of different styles of music.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that's what makes him a great musician. I think that helps.
He's open.
Inform him, you know, as a musician. But it was great having him. And he came all the way down from Glendale in the middle of the week when we record. And he didn't get paid. Just wanted to share his music and just
nice.
Kind of play for us. And I can't thank him enough. And we've been getting a lot of good feedback. Some great feedback on him, and people really seem to dig his stuff. So hopefully this will, you know, give him a little bit more of a boost.
They're all going to show up at the Red Door.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully. He's got a gig coming up at a place called Kulak's Woodshed, or Kulak's Woodshed. He's going to be opening. Let me. I should have had this.
Yeah, he mentioned that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something, because his regular gig is the Red Door, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that every Monday?
It's going to be this Friday, I believe.
And he's every Monday at the Red Door.
Every Monday at the Red Door.
I found that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go. You just go down the street and get something to eat at Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is open 24 hours.
Is that one open 24 hours?
It's the only one, and it's open 24 hours.
You know, there was one up here in Walnut for a little while off of 60.
They're building some new ones, but that's the last original Bob's Big Boy. And they have the car hop service on the weekends. They do the hot rod shows and all
that. Do they really?
That one in Walnut's a diner one.
And now they changed it. It's now a... it's like a Vietnamese. It's like a
really.
It's like a pho
chain.
Place.
It's a chain Vietnamese restaurant. Oh, wow.
Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Wow. I like the way she said it.
Say it again.
What did I do? It's not happening. You guys have to rewind that.
Like, forget it. You'll just have to listen to the show.
I don't listen again, Justine. I don't.
You have to do that 10-second rewind to get that.
Ugh.
Is that tough?
There's a Bob's Big Boy on the 15.
I'm not going
every day.
There's one in Downey, too. It used to be Johnny's Broiler. and they turned that into a brand new Bob's Big Boy, which isn't bad. It's a lot of glass and
oh yeah, did they keep the old?
Well, they put that old sign in the back, the Johnny's Fat Boy or whatever that.
Yeah.
The ripoff insignia is in the back with the parking.
Oh, so here it is. It's Friday, July 7th, 8 to 10 p.m. It's $10. Rick is going to open for another gentleman by the name of Severn Brown. And if you cannot attend, you can go to the concert window at www.concertwindow.com and just look for Severn Brown. I actually posted the link already on the Facebook page. So if you just go to facebook.com/soupcomplex, it'll be on there. But you can actually pay whatever you want to get it streamed. So some of the music, it's a way to kind of support the artist. They get some money for it.
Wow.
And you can stream it live. So if you can't be there, check it out. So Rick is going to be opening. And again, thanks, Rick. It was great having you. And hopefully we'll have Rick back again very soon. But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Patrick, did Justine listen?
No, my episodes aren't downloading at our new place. Loser. I haven't listened to any podcasts.
What? How do you survive?
I don't like that at all.
That is literally all I listen to on my drive. So my drive is anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. I get through at least one good show.
My podcast was set to just download the episodes so I don't have to run it and do my internet on my phone.
Yeah.
But it's not downloading. Can't download anything.
I'm behind about when I went to do Rock Solid, which should be coming out soon. I'll have a date for that soon. But I was listening to the Kinks like nonstop for like a month to get ready for that. I'm so behind on all my regular podcasts. I'm so behind. So, like, Never Not Funny, Rock Solid, the podcast that I'm going to be on, I'm behind like a month and a half because that's all I was doing was listening to music. So now I'm trying to catch up. And now I have new podcasts that I've thrown into the mix.
I have a new one as well. I'm listening, thankfully, because we had a wonderful guest star on for a brief phone call. Brent and PJ's video.
Isn't it the best?
I'm like 7 episodes in, and I'm just dying.
It's hilarious every time.
It's great, and you know what? They're the perfect right like length for my drive, yeah. Which is wonderful. And I love their synopsis of when they're
like my Friday night drive home. Now,
yeah.
I told them I said every Friday night, he usually posts the episode like late Thursday night, early Friday morning. And I save it for my drive home Friday night. That's like my new thing. And I just spend that little time with Brent and PJ.
They're fantastic.
And it's funny. They're great. They're perfect for it. I love that they can never remember anything.
No, I know. And I like that they added the feature of they're reading the back of the movie box.
Yeah. That's a little synopsis. They just did did you hear the last one about the
I'm like 3 episodes.
The vacuum
behind.
Movie?
I have to catch
it. Okay.
The what movie?
It's a movie called – I guess it was like a – It sounds almost – I've never heard of it. Was it something
– I have it open.
Can you look it up?
Yeah, I'll look it up. But the last episode I think I listened to was the Truck Turner one.
Oh, that's a great one.
Which was hilarious.
I love how hard they were laughing at the dummy kill.
Yeah.
Which I had to look up online.
And that's cool too because I'm starting to look up like new things about it.
Mm-hmm. So another shout out. We beat them to another shout out.
That's right.
Yes.
The last episode they did, which I have not listened to, but I love the title, is Oversex Rug Suckers from Mars.
That's what it's called. Whoa. It's like a weird – it's like a movie I never heard of. The guy went on to direct porn, according to their
– Oh, I love it. He went from that to porn.
So I think it might have been like a softcore movie from the way they make it – from the way they make it sound.
Oh, God. That's hilarious.
And it's cool because I'm starting to like go back and watch these movies. So like I watched Manos in the Hands of Fate.
Oh, you had never seen that?
I had never seen it.
Okay, now you have to watch the Mystery Science Theater.
I watched the Mystery Science Theater one.
Did you love it?
It was great. It was hilarious.
Yeah, see?
But it was just such a weird movie.
They're weird. It's weird to begin with, and then you get the commentary.
That was voted the all-time favorite Mystery Science Theater episode.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Manos, the Hands of Fate one.
Yeah.
And that one is available on Netflix.
If you go to
Netflix,
that's like the first one on there.
Mm-hmm. Manos, the Hands, that's the number one rated episode.
So they're giving me some great movies to watch. Well, yeah. Great in quotations.
Yeah.
And they're hilarious to listen to.
PJ and Brent still owe me $2 for making me watch Equilibrium, though. That was awful.
it's a terrible movie.
That was terrible. So I want my 2 hours back.
But now I gotta go find Truck Turner. I haven't seen that, so I want to watch that.
I found a copy online, but it wasn't very good. It's not it's cut off. It's like blown up. They didn't letterbox it. You want to watch those anyway. I'm going to try to go check out the that thing you're doing at UCLA that you talked about.
You're going to go for the
I want to go see Coffee and
you're going to go to the Pam Grier night?
We should all go.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. We want to see some black exploitation.
Do you know what night that is?
We announced it on the show. It's in August.
Okay. I'm going to go with you. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, you don't want me to go?
Don't worry, John. I get that response.
I might be changing. I'm kidding.
That's okay. Maybe you'll see me there.
Yeah. No. I'm going to look for it. Let me find it.
There's a great pizza place right across the street.
So if you guys haven't given Home Video Hustle a chance, definitely listen to it.
Yeah,
they are
check
hilarious.
That out. How long they been doing that?
There are 8 episodes in.
What? Yeah.
So they just started.
It's great.
I actually found them on a Mystery Science Theater group, and really? Brent said, hey, are there any other podcasters here? And I started listening to the show, and I loved it right. I was like, this is awesome.
And they make us want to step up our game. I'm not going to lie.
Just kidding.
Their sound quality.
No, you
is
said
so
that
good.
On that last that show.
Yeah, they use a mic. They use a mic that's called a.
It's all in the mic.
Oh, what's it called? Blue dot blue. It's like the primo. A USB mic.
They invented some money.
So what does that do?
It makes it sound like a blue
Yeti.
Blue Yeti. That's what it is.
So it makes it sound more.
John, I don't know these things. If I knew them, we'd have one.
Tell me what makes it sound better.
We'd have to ask Brent. He's the one who went to sound engineering.
How does the quality of the mic up the at a certain point?
Are you kidding?
It's like super clear. Or?
Oh yeah.
It makes you sound ungodly.
So it's like you're in the room with them.
Kinda. That's the quality I shoot for on this show.
But you were doing your walking around, and that sounded fine.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I think the problem with this is the setup in here is we get a lot of reverb from the brick. You can tell we sound like we're in a big room. Mm-hmm. With Brent and PJ, I think he told me they recorded his house, and they've just got the mic set up, and I think they even share the mic, but it's a – that tells you something. It's a quality mic, and they're sharing it, and they sound great.
You know what else sounds great, too? Mm. Can't crosstalk with a single mic.
That's it.
That's smart.
Yeah, see, we have to stop.
So do they just hang it in the middle of the room? Or
I don't know.
I think it's just back and forth. But maybe. Yeah, they sound. It's a great show.
I like it because what I love about that show is how constantly surprised PJ is. He's just like, what? What the hell? I love it. So, yeah, enough about their podcast. Right? We're doing our own podcast.
No, I apologize.
We love those guys, and they're great. And hopefully we'll have Brent on again because he was a great little guest.
I think
we only got to do like 20 – not little, like to be dismissive of – his segment was a good little segment. That's what I'm trying to say.
Because you talked about another podcast that was actually with a mom and her kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That was the same day. Yeah.
That was the same day.
What show was that?
That's called Arthur Mommy Me Time, and she goes and sees movies with her son. I got to have her back on because she is going to be – unfortunately, now that we've talked about having her on as like our correspondent, there aren't any more kids' movies that have come out. Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe Despicable Me, because I am not going to see that. There's no way I'm going to see that. So I have to call her. Well, maybe we'll call her next week.
I think we should have Brent plug the movie they're going to watch.
Brent is actually going to – I recommended a movie to him. Mm-hmm. So I want to see – I would definitely want to have him on after he does sees that movie. But we got to call him every once in a while and just see.
I think so.
And see what's up. PJ's watching Star Wars this week.
Oh.
PJ's watching Star Wars.
Is he going to do that recording I told him about?
I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know. He just
hit – recording?
I told him that before he reveals that he's his father.
Spoiler alert.
He should record it.
What's so, like, happening? Record his face.
I don't know if PJ listens to the show, so maybe Brent needs to give him a – I just
– So somebody should be filming his face when he finds out.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's get down to business. We all saw
– You don't know that song from Mulan?
To Defeat the Hun?
Did you know that's Osman Danny? Yeah.
Donny Osman?
Donny. Did you know that was him singing that song?
Do you know who sings the Chinese version of that song?
Is there a Chinese version of that song?
Yeah. The movie was released in China. Guess who sings the Chinese version of that song? Jackie Chan.
No.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so mind blown right now.
Yeah,
I didn't
even
know he sang that song, Donnie.
Yeah.
That's how big he is. They probably begged him to do it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's heavy.
Have you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. Come on. It's Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Everything he does is good.
Oh, is he going to be in the live-action Mulan?
I would play it, but I don't want to get sued.
They're doing a live-action Mulan. Is he going to be in that?
I hope so.
As the dragon or something?
Oh, he has a new movie coming out.
Yeah, The Foreigner?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be very serious.
Yeah, it looks serious.
Anyways, what movie were we going to talk about?
I don't know.
Look at the top of your coffee cup.
Oh, hey.
Baby Driver.
You got to find that. Dig that up if you can find it. Dig up the Jackie Chan, I'll make a man out of you.
Insert here.
I'll make a Chan out of you.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, the new movie with Jackie Chan is supposed to be a very serious movie.
Yeah,
it's not a comedy. Like it. It's him and Pierce Brosnan, right?
Yeah.
Is it called The Foreigner?
Yes, The Foreigner.
Foreigner. I've not seen the preview, but I've heard about it. I'm always and always have and always will be your friend and a Jackie Chan fan. Always. Love Jackie Chan. He can do no wrong in my eye. All right. We all saw a movie this week. What was it called? It's called Baby Driver.
Loved it.
John?
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
Justine?
It was good. I loved it.
All right. Don't freak out.
Okay, who wants to go first? John, what did you think? Well, John, we went through a whole list of movies at the beginning of the summer, movies that were coming out this summer, and you were the one that said, hey, there's a movie coming out called Baby Driver.
Yeah, that was always on my list.
We missed it in the list.
Yeah.
So, basically, Baby Driver is a movie that you've seen a million times before. It is the, we've got to pull one last job before I'm out of this life heist movie. And the wrinkle is, the guy that's going to pull one last heist is a young man they call Baby. He is a whiz at driving. He is an amazing getaway driver. But he also has tinnitus from an accident he suffered as a boy.
Yes.
And then, to deal with that, to cope with that, the constant buzzing is in his ear, he listens to his iPod almost constantly.
Even when he's doing the driving.
Especially when he's doing the driving.
Even do the getaway driving without it. That's right.
So that adds another element to the movie, because the soundtrack, even more so than a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy, or even more so in a movie that is, you know, something like Quentin Tarantino, who's going to become the master of these soundtracks, or Scorsese. Because he's actively listening to these songs.
It's real time. Which you're hearing is what he's hearing.
Exactly.
So if it's all synchronized and beautiful, it's exactly what he's hearing when he's driving.
Yes. So
it makes sense now.
It kind of adds another level. It kind of ups the soundtrack game.
They did something else, too. So when he's not listening to music, you can hear the buzzing.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you can hear the tinnitus, which was fantastic.
And another thing that they did was by making the soundtrack such an integral part of the, I think Edgar Wright really had to dig. And this is a soundtrack that is, you're going to know some of the songs, but there's a lot of songs on there you may have never heard before.
That first song is something, he's had it in his mind to have that in a heist movie since he was like a teenager. That Bell Bottoms by the John Spencer Blues Band.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
He said he always had that in mind, like, years ago. He said, boy, that'd be great for, like, a chase movie to have that song, which is not a hit. But he just thought, I've got to write a movie around that song. And then he finally came up with this idea.
There are so many songs that are good little, like, great gems that may – I mean, there's a few that you know. There's some big songs that, you know, there's Barry White on there. Radar Love by there's some big
Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Oh, and Neat 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 by the Damned.
By the Damned. The Damned making
that's
an appearance.
One of the best scenes, yeah.
But I think making the soundtrack using songs that people might not necessarily be familiar with.
Sure. Because otherwise it just sounds like every other scene.
Added another element to it. Yeah.
So when I went to go see it, I knew nothing about it. I knew that we were going to talk about it on the show.
That's a great way to go into
it. And I knew that you had said you'd loved it. So I was like, okay, cool. I wanted to see it. I'd heard good things about it, but I didn't watch a preview.
Good.
I went completely blind. And I loved it. It was amazing. It was great to see it that way. I didn't like get any spoilers or anything like that. I just went
How often do you get to see a movie where there's been no setup at all?
It was great. It was
Nicole saw this and Get Out the same way. She really didn't know about it, and she just kind of trusted me and said, let's go see this. And she was blown away. She loved it too. And it was fun to be there with someone who was loving it as well. It was a nice, like a shared experience.
Yeah.
It felt the same way, even though this movie had a little more hype behind it, it felt the exact same way when we saw Pulp Fiction or something like that for the first time.
Sure.
Before something. And it's doing well at the box office. It came in second behind Wonder Woman, I believe.
Yeah, everyone's giving it like people leaving the theater giving it like an A+. And it's got like a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And it's funny because everyone I talked to, they said they didn't know what to make of it from the trailer. They go, is it a comedy? And I said, it's not a comedy.
Yeah.
There's funny stuff in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a
but
comedy.
But it's not a straight heist movie either. It's a weird animal, but I like it. I liked it.
I did too.
And then that opening scene yeah. is almost like a musical. You think for a second, is this going to be a musical?
Is he singing?
Is he going to be? And I want to go back and see that opening scene again because you see the lyrics from the song are like tagged on the wall and like
the
and there's a bunch of it's great. So Justine is awfully quiet over there. Justine, did you know anything going into this movie?
No, I don't even know what the trailer looks like.
Nope.
And what did you think of it, like, as you saw it?
John Hamm is a hottie.
Oh, by the way, I'm a huge John Hamm fan.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, it was great to see him be the nemesis because you were expecting it to be Jamie Foxx.
Yep.
Until he got Almond Brothered. Sorry, John.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
And it was great. I was like, yeah, this is so great for John Hamm, who does such a great job on Mad Men.
That was such a good twist. Because I did think, I agree, I was in
you
the
thought it was going to be Jamie Foxx. And it, you know, you see John Hamm, and he seems kind of lightweight compared to...
Well, it's too in, like, if you, when you're watching the movie, you see that John Hamm has a better relationship with Biggie.
Yeah.
They're closer to being friends. He's trying to sort of, if you watch it, he's kind of taking him under his wing. He's, you know, listening to music. He's supporting the kid and everything. And then like that, he snaps.
Yeah.
It's just dang.
But I like that they bonded over the music. Yeah. He was trying to bond with him, kind of get to know him. But then you think later, was he just trying to like get in his head? Like, you know, but it was great because he was so menacing. And when he does that thing where he says, you took something away from me and I'm going to take something away. And he shoots him in the
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, it's always spoiler. Well, I'll put it on the page. But then he shoots
his ears.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's and I then know. He's gonna kill him.
Yeah.
It's like you're not even gonna hear music while I.
Well, he was gonna kill her first, then him.
Yeah,
that was so good.
Cold blooded,
loved it.
But you know, you could see he just went out of his head when you know. There's a reason he went. He just snapped. You know,
I only had one problem with the movie, and again, spoiler alert. But it's when Kevin Spacey flips.
Yeah,
that change was way too quick for him to be like, yeah, no, I'm not giving you shit. You're not getting your tapes. I'm not doing anything. You screwed me over. And then all of a sudden he's like, boom, right. I'll do everything.
I think it kind of shows you that maybe
over the years he's kind of gotten a little closer than he thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. It almost works because he has sort of developed this sort of relationship.
And my favorite quote is, don't fucking quote Shrek to me.
No, Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc., yeah.
He's like,
Monsters,
Inc. He goes, that's my kid's favorite movie. I knew I heard that somewhere.
I love how much the kid knew. He goes into the bank. The kid has to get all the information. You know?
But
that was just
was
a
cool.
great little scene. You know?
It had so many wonderful moments.
I want to see it again, and it's always good to see Kevin Spacey because he can. That's kind of a role that he can walk through now at this point.
But he was great.
But he was great. He was great.
And believable. And I love how the twist, the cherry on top, is they waited till the very, very end to actually play the song Baby Driver.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, where are they going to work this in? And nobody knows that song. Nobody under 50 is familiar with that song, probably.
Yeah.
And at the very, very end, and then you listen to the lyrics and you go, holy shit, the lyrics even work.
I was glad they put in Radar sense. Love, too.
The Radar Love, man. I've been driving all night. My hands wet on the wheel.
It's definitely one of my top movies for the year.
This bumped, and I know people are going to get mad at me, this bumped Wonder Woman out of the two spot.
Whoa.
I said the same thing. I was actually mad at you when you said that. You texted us in the group and said this bumped out this, and I'm like, no, I can't.
Get Out, still my number one.
And I still haven't seen Get Out.
Wonder Woman was a strong number two.
Yeah.
And then Baby Driver, but here's why. Baby Driver, beginning to end, loved it. Couldn't wait to see what was going to happen. Wonder Woman, that last 30 minutes, I was like, I've seen this a million times.
I agree.
I honestly thought that Shane would come, what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
I thought Shane would
John
come
Bernthal.
Back and be the bad guy.
Yeah. That was another thing they threw
the
you.
The whole
like,
time I was like, oh, because he's such a big actor now.
They really casted this movie perfectly.
You think it Flea.
Yeah.
Even Flea's in it.
It was an all-star cast. It was really
the
good.
The girl who played Deborah.
Oh, yeah.
Was just innocent enough that you really were like, when they walked into the diner, I was like, oh, my God, like, what's she going to do?
She's going to die.
But she was smart enough not to say anything.
Yeah. And, I know, the whole audience is holding their breath. They're all...
You know, and few directors can do stuff. Like Quentin Tarantino can do scenes like that. And it was really great because this is Edgar Wright's... I don't want to say it's his first movie, but this is a real departure from, like, the Shaun of the Dead trilogy.
It's probably the more serious of the movies he's done.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim and all that stuff. It all has sort of a...
But when they said when I found out it was Edgar Wright who directed, the music started to make sense. Mm-hmm. I was like, he's always done, you know, so much
I feel
music.
Like he plays Queen in all his movies now.
Yeah. That's his band.
Yeah.
If I was a director, who would I play?
It's great because this really was a mixtape that made sense, you know.
If I was a director, it would be all Huey Lewis in the News all the time.
I thought it would be the Beastie Boys.
It would be either the Beastie Boys or the Kinks.
Yeah.
Oh, did you should have seen the you should have seen my face when they played, even though I knew it was coming, in Star Trek Beyond.
Oh, yeah.
They played Sabotage.
I love that. Yeah, they always worked. They went and said classical music, right?
Yeah.
Was it Spock or
is this
or
classical
Bones?
Music?
Is this classical music?
Which I hate that. I usually hate that kind of joke, but I love the idea that the Beastie Boys are now classical.
Like, sure, you know, a thousand years passes. Yes,
I love
it's
it.
Now classical.
Yeah,
music.
Guess what? I love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mozart was like the Beastie Boys of his day. So, John, what did you think? I mean,
I loved it.
Right up your alley.
Yeah. It was like a beautiful mixtape. But like you said, it's in real time. It makes sense. You know, what he's hearing is what the audience is hearing. Yeah.
Did you, were there any picks from the soundtrack you liked?
Oh, well, I love The Damned. So when he's tearing around in Neat, I just thought that was the greatest.
You like Alone Again or?
And you know, somebody said they said, depending on how you count it, there's like between 30 and 70 tracks in this movie.
Well,
I heard there was 70.
Do you have the soundtrack?
Let's be like just snippets.
On the soundtrack, there's 30 songs.
There's 30.
Do you want to read? You bought the soundtrack. Would you like to read some of the?
I deleted a few. There's one song that just like it made me feel so. Oh my god! It was too much.
Too sad.
It was just called Intermission.
Oh, that's by Blur.
Oh my god! That thing just like the way the song goes.
Does it hurt you?
Well, what? It made you sad?
No, it didn't make me sad. It was
made
just,
you bored.
It gave me anxiety.
Got her heart racing, stressing her out.
Yeah.
So there's actually 30 proper tracks. There's probably snippets of other things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some critics said there was like 70.
Young so. MC gets a little.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. This is almost constant music. Uh-huh. It's almost constant. It's almost a constant soundtrack.
Oh, and you know what I heard? They had a choreographer. Not just that scene where he's dancing down the street, but for any time they had to synchronize movement to the music, even just people walking down the hall, they had a choreographer, so everything really did sync up.
What about when they were when he was timing the gunshots to the music?
God. Oh,
that was cool.
What I love was when he couldn't actually start the car until he found a station.
He
destroys his iPod, and so he steals a car. He's on FM radio. He's trying to find a station. They're like, "Why isn't he going?" And he's like flipping around trying.
And that's what Jamie Foxx said.
Yeah,
he'd worked so with good. Somebody that wouldn't leave.
When it happened, I was like, "Oh crap!"
Jamie and then he Foxx. Finds Radar Love.
That's when it happened. I was like, "Yes."
What I love about it is, of course, that would be on a classic rock station somewhere. Of course, that would be on there.
So, from start to finish, Bell Bottoms. Harlem Shuffle, Egyptian Reggae.
It was the great thing about Harlem Shuffle.
There's two versions.
But everybody knows the beginning of that because of Jump Around.
Yeah.
So you think it's going to be Jump Around and stuff. And when it went into Harlem Shuffle, I was like, I'm already in love with this
movie. That gave me a big smile.
Yeah.
No, it really is Harlem Shuffle. Yeah. And they did like two or three versions of Harlem Shuffle, too.
Smokey Joe's La La, Let's Go Away for a While, Baby.
Oh, what did you think of Let's Go Away for a While using Pet Sounds on there, John? Were you?
I loved it. And when she's singing Baby by Carla Thomas, I thought, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know he's sitting there. She's just singing it to herself, you know.
Love it.
And then he's at the record store picking it up. I love that. They show him going through the vinyl. And
there's stuff he doesn't know. I love that. Yeah.
Kashmir, Unsquare Dance, Neat.
Oh, that was Dave Brubeck. That was a great when Jamie Foxx thinks he's not listening.
Yeah.
That's Unsquare Dance by Dave Brubeck. That's a great tune. It's got like these weird hand claps and just the bass. It's really cool.
Easy. Deborah.
Oh, T-Rex. Yeah, I went nuts.
I knew
I loved it. He goes, you know, by Trex.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's all, you mean T-Rex. That's so great. Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I was smiling ear to ear, you know. Yeah. What'd you do?
Bongolia.
Oh, did I break that?
Bongolia.
Bongolia.
Go right ahead.
Baby, Let Me Take You in My Arms, Early in the Morning, The Edge, Nowhere to Run.
The Edge, by the way, everybody knows as The Next Episode by Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
So when they
that
also
tripped me out.
When they also play, you know who that's by?
No.
Dave McCallum.
Wow.
How do you know Dave McCallum?
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And,
yep.
He wrote. Yeah, geez. So he gets a little money every time they sample that, right?
Yeah, you guys know what that song is. We don't have the connection.
Wow. The Edge.
Tequila, When Something's Wrong with My... I don't know what
my
the...
Baby.
My Baby. Every Little Bit
Hurts. Oh, that's Sam and Dave, When Something's Wrong with My Baby.
Yeah.
Intermission, Hocus Pocus, Radar Love.
Play
Never
Intermission.
Gonna...
That thing freaked me out. I really just did not...
Yeah, it's a good song.
That was sampled for.
Hocus Pocus, Radar Love, Never Gonna Give You Up, Know How, Brighton Rock, Baby Driver, Was He Slow was fantastic. That whole clip.
I loved that whole thing when you first hear him playing with that.
Yeah.
Retarded means slow. Was he slow? Retarded means slow. Was he slow? I love that. I love when they don't buy his explanation for why he has all the tapes. And when they put it on, they're like, son of a gun. He was just screwing around. Unbelievable.
That was so good.
You know what? Do you know where Dave McCallum is now? He's on NCIS.
Yes, playing Ducky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, who gets that kind of a second act? Who gets to play, I mean, really, how many people started off in the 60s with a show like Man from U.N.C.L.E. and they're still on a hit show?
That's crazy.
I mean, he's on one of the top shows right now. And he must be, what, 75 or something? How many people get that in their life?
I'm trying to figure out where.
Say Andy Griffith.
I hope that's, yeah. In the 1960s, McCallum recorded four albums for Capitol Records with music producer David Axelrod. The best known of his pieces today is The Edge, which was sampled by Dr. Dre as the intro and riff to the next episode. How about that?
Overall, this music, the movie with all this music was just fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it again. It's a sort of movie that will... It will pay off.
I feel like you're going to catch more things the second time around. You're going to see more stuff, like, you know, the music syncing up.
I'm definitely going to try to see it again. I'm going to have a few days here to myself, so I'm going to go check it out again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to – my wife and daughter are going out of town with my mother-in-law for a week, and I'm just going to use – I'm going to go to the movies and just see all the stuff either I missed or I want to see again before
– Party at Mario's house?
Before they leave. No. I like my alone time. I'll be working on making a better podcast.
Hey.
Okay, so we'll go see Spider-Man together.
I'm seeing that. Do you guys have your tickets for Spider-Man?
Going to see it tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You know, here's
we're going to go Thursday, huh?
Yeah. Here's the only problem. I have to go Thursday because I work all weekend. My only problem, I have to see it in 3D.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny. We're like, ooh.
Yeah.
We all hate 3D.
I don't like that.
We're going, I think we're seeing it in Dolby, which should be really
Dolby?
Nice.
Dolby?
Yeah.
Dolby.
Dobly.
But yeah, they don't do midnight showings anymore. So it was either like 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock. So we're going to the 10 o'clock one.
They don't do midnight shows anymore?
Well, so they start earlier is what I mean.
Yeah, like 7.
They start at 7.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's nice.
So what's a midnight show?
They don't want all the chaos of everyone camping out till midnight. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I like going. With the new assigned seating, it's great, which is what we did. But 3D was the only thing available. Otherwise, I got to wait like a whole week. And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's Spider-Man. It's everybody's favorite superhero.
Where are you going?
It's the best superhero.
Right, yeah, I think.
You're going,
it's weird. Right? We haven't been to that theater before, but I guess they pair it off. The seats are two.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one? Edwards?
I don't know.
It's couple seating.
Oh, yeah, actually, I think it's
couple seating?
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, we've never been.
It's kind of like what they do at...
They said, like, you can feel the vibrations.
No.
That's the... that's the... Cinema, what is it? Cinema X?
It's not one of those. It's just the sound quality is supposed to be really good in that theater.
I don't think that one's in Brea. No.
I think it's in Brea.
There's only one theater in Brea that doesn't have that.
There's two theaters in Brea.
What is that?
There's
Echo?
There's two theaters right across the street from each other in Brea.
That's one theater there.
I think we're going in like Pune.
Pune Hills, maybe?
Oh, yeah. There we go. That's different than Brea.
It's right next to it, right?
This has been Southern California City Talk.
We're taking the 101.
Yeah, yeah.
We're taking the 605.
So, well, I'm excited because this is a movie that's getting great reviews, and I'm a huge Spider-Man
fan. Certified fresh. Rotten Tomatoes, 93%.
It's amazing how much weight Rotten Tomatoes carries now.
Yeah.
Well, it's shorthand. Funny. People look at it, that's shorthand for is it good or is it bad?
Well, because it's an aggregator of all the...
I was really worried that it was going to be bad. Because just the luck with Spider-Man, they got lucky in Civil War with how he was portrayed, and it was fantastic, but I was just worried that they were going to screw something up.
I don't know. They've been working on this for so
everybody.
Long.
Although it was funny, too. I read it somewhere that Tom Holland is not to know anything about his role in the next, like, three movies because he keeps telling people things.
Yeah.
He's so excited.
That's funny.
Did you post
that? I think he spoiled the... he's the kid that Iron Man rescues in Iron Man 2 is supposed to be Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And I think they were supposed to make a reference or something to it. I don't know if that, but he wouldn't stop. I guess maybe it was supposed to be a surprise. I don't know if that's true. We'll find out when the movie comes out. But they were saying that was part of the reason that they're not letting him.
Yeah.
He wanted to read Infinity War, and they're like, nope.
Yeah. He's apparently a really bad.
I just saw Tom Holland in another great movie that I'm going to talk about that I missed at the theaters, but we're going to talk about that. I'm going to tease that. We're going to talk about that after the break. So go see Baby Driver.
Absolutely.
What are your final? What do you say?
Oh, big thumbs up. Absolutely.
Give me on a scale of 1 to 10, John.
That's a 10, for sure. Yeah.
B-A-B-Y.
Two thumbs up and pitching a 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give that thing like a 9. That's a solid 9
I would give it a 10. I think...
I like to dole out those 10s.
I would give it a 10.
So 10 is for like Lawrence of Arabia.
Like Godfather 2.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. But a 9 is like, go see it. Please go see it. I want this movie to do well. It'll never have a sequel. That's a great thing about it, too.
I know. There'll never be a sequel.
He showed me a picture earlier of Ansel, the guy who plays Baby. Mm-hmm. He posted on Instagram. It's a picture of him standing next to a car with a stroller, and it said sequel, Baby Daddy.
No, Daddy Driver.
Oh, Daddy Driver.
They had a there was a Edgar Wright on Twitter had a picture of an iPod that said, "Confession, I've never given up my iPod," and it was an iPod Classic. So that you can tell, you know, he had a lot.
Yeah, he said he doesn't like.
Oh my God, I love his blinged out.
Oh, the pink one.
The pink one. Yeah. I love he's got a whole pocket full of them.
Yeah.
Great.
So cool. Maybe miss my iPod Classic. That thing was awesome.
I
could hold 30,000 songs on it.
Even like his sunglasses. The guy threw it away. He just pulled out.
Oh, that was the best. He kept busting him and he'd go, whoop.
All right. Go see it. It's great. We loved it. My favorite movie this summer so far.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back after this break. Everybody, we're back from break. How's it going?
Refreshed.
I feel good. You used the restroom. How'd that go?
Relieved.
I hope everything came out okay. All right, guys.
Regular.
Next up, Patrick, watch and feel. We're joined by a denizen of Undercity here.
Denizen.
A denizen.
Is that like the chili?
Have you been on the show before, London?
Last time I remember like coming in here and talking to you guys while you were recording, maybe was about the 1975, when I said that they were an In Excess cover band.
Ah, that's right. And Emma Crump took great offense to that and still has not talked to me.
I don't think... I didn't say that as an insult.
Yeah, that's
they just sound a lot like In Excess.
Hey, listen, it's fine to say. It's like I always say, you know...
Do you feel that joke was excessive?
I want to punch you so
You're welcome.
You made me forget what I was going to say, which is fine, because it was inconsequential. But we have some important news to get to, and feel free, John, yep. London, feel free to step in if you need to. We talked about a movie a couple of weeks ago.
We talked about it at game night, and we talked about it constantly.
Oh, yeah, we talked about Renee and I were quoting this movie the other night. It's a little film we like to call Nacho Libre, starring the great Jack Black. And Patrick admitted that he had never seen Nacho Libre, and we're like, oh, man, you've got to see it, thinking... Of all the things we've told him to see,
at Casablanca.
I've seen Casablanca.
The original.
Oh, Justine hasn't seen Casablanca.
The original King Kong.
Okay. I've seen King Kong.
All these things.
All right, so Jake's seen everything.
That's Patrick.
Hey, I just did what you always do. I just did what you always do. I go, how can you get his name wrong? How long have you known him?
Mm-hmm. Shame is real.
And I just did the real thing.
Wow. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
I see.
I haven't seen Nacho Libre.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I was watching it by
he
myself.
He was watching it. I didn't see it right away, but I saw some of it, and I was like, are you watching Glow? But
oh, yeah.
We need to talk about
no.
that.
He said Nacho Libre, and I just kind of turned around.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know insulting. If it's good.
All right, Patrick, what did you think?
You may not have known it was good, but I know now. That shit was amazing.
It's one of the all-time greats.
I died laughing. I couldn't handle it. It was just too funny.
It's so dumb, but it's hilarious.
It's so dumb, it's so good.
You know what I love about the movie Nacho Libre is that it's very well-meaning. It has a heart. Like,
yeah.
People are like, it's full of stereotypes. How do you like that movie? And I said, because they weren't trying to make – they weren't trying to be offensive.
Yeah.
There was just this guy, and they tried to like half-assedly explain that he's half, what is Swedish?
Yeah, he's Swedish.
My parents were Swedish missionaries.
No, his dad was a Swedish missionary. His mom was a nun, and they got together.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. Have you seen Naturally London?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's one of the
actually. I wanted to jump in real quick. My girlfriend was telling me she loves that movie. Her family and her like watch that all the time.
Yeah.
But she wanted me to be Nacho, and she wanted to be Encarnacion for Halloween.
Oh God, the names.
Encarnacion. You go. Sister Encarnacion and I will talk about holy things. but what I love about it is...
I've had diarrhea for weeks.
Do you not know I have had the diarrhea since Easter? what I love about it is that, there are stereotypes.
Yes.
But it's so well-meaning and so fun. And I love that they just went to like this Oaxaca, Mexico.
Yeah.
Like who films there? They just found this like sleepy little town. And they filmed the movie there. They went down there, and it's a love letter to Lucha Libre because you see a lot of weird,
yeah. Oh,
like the little
so
demon
good.
Guys. You see a lot of, and I love that it's kind of got this Wes Anderson kind of feel where you don't know exactly the specific time period. Everybody's driving like 70s cars, but then there's, you know, and the TVs look kind of old, but, you
who
know.
Did, who did direct it?
Jared Hess.
Jared Hess, the same guy that did Napoleon Dynamite.
And Masterminds.
Oh, I haven't seen Masterminds.
That is stupidly funny.
Okay, it's on Netflix right now.
I've watched it a lot.
I keep passing by, and it looks funny.
Yeah,
but I haven't checked it out yet because I'm a huge fan of Zach Galifianakis. Yeah. I had to take a second to say.
Do you watch Baskets?
I do not. Is it good?
No, I haven't watched it, but it's his show. It's all about him. He's a rodeo clown.
Is it true?
And Louis Anderson plays his mom. It's crazy.
I haven't watched it yet.
Called Baskets.
Get that mic closer to you.
You're a fan. You're a fan, so go see it.
Well, don't get mad at me.
Go see it.
There's Kinks albums you don't have. I don't bring it up on the show.
There is no Kinks album I don't have.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you that.
Is that true?
Speaking of which, I just picked up Kinks Size.
Ooh.
What?
Vinyl. Yeah.
This kid, look, listens to the show. I don't know if that's true. Kinks, I think I have the... I have that on vinyl, but I bought it used. That's the one.
It's tough to come by because there's American albums.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of singles, right?
It's like with the Beatles albums, there was like three Kinks albums. They popped eight. They somehow cranked eight American albums out of that material. It's weird repackaging, but the covers are really cool.
There we go. Kink sized.
It's like Smith's albums.
Oh, is that?
They put the same songs on like.
Yeah, somebody joked
five
that, like,
different albums.
They say like Louie is on like every Kinks, every American Kinks song. It's got different.
And it's not, and you know what? I'm a Kinks fan.
It's a
terrible version.
Yeah,
because they don't know how to do it.
No, it might be the worst. And what's funny is because
I found a 7-inch of the Kingsmen.
Louie
by the Kingsmen.
Because it's been done a million times, but the Kingsmen is really the best version. What's weird is hearing the original version where you can actually make out the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that, Richard Berry?
No.
The original Louie, he sings it very clearly, and you can make out all the lyrics. But when the Kingsmen do it, it's so muffled and slurred, people thought it was like obscene.
It's like a drunken
anthem. I think the FBI, like they were looking into it.
Kink Size has this, Tired of Waiting for You. Awesome. Louie, I've got that feeling. Revenge. I got to move. Things are getting better. I got to go now. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Come on now. And how does it close, John?
I don't know.
All day and all of the night?
All of that stuff is on the second Kinks album.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny how they did that. Everything up to like Face to Face doesn't match up.
Yeah. Well, because they had to...
It's the same with the Beatles, the Stones, the Who. They just carve them up. It didn't matter.
Well, as much as I love talking about the Kinks... We got to get back to Nacho Libre. I'm sorry, man. But
that's okay.
Speaking of great soundtracks, Nacho Libre, wacky soundtrack.
That was so good.
They found a band called Mr. Loco, 70s band. They did a bunch of songs. So what was your favorite thing?
Anytime Jack Black posed for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he struts out his body.
Yeah.
He over-dramatized everything he did. It was so good.
It's great.
And then the one-liners were fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think Jack Black is funny at all, though. So am I not going to like this movie?
You're going to hate it.
Yeah, you'll hate it.
I think he's funny.
Did you not like School of Rock?
I liked it. I could do without him.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm not a huge Jack. I've never had a movie that I liked him in.
Did you not like Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny?
No.
Oh.
Did you not like him in King Kong? I'm just kidding.
How about High Fidelity?
I don't think I've seen that.
I have that soundtrack on vinyl, too.
See,
that's a great soundtrack.
You like Tropic Thunder? Yeah.
No, I don't.
Really? Speaking of which,
he is an acquired taste.
I have the Nacho Libre soundtrack on vinyl, too.
Damn.
I'm going to go to London for all of my vinyl needs.
I brought back a crate of records from New Mexico.
Sony is still going to be making vinyl records. They
I think they're bringing them back.
Yeah.
They're bringing vinyl back. I just ordered the Beastie Boys soundtrack off of a website Vinyl. Not the Beastie Boys soundtrack. The Beastie Boys Solid Gold Hits.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What I have heard
you can
now
find
is
those copies anywhere.
There's a lot of pressing plants that kind of they shut them down when vinyl was not a slowly but surely vinyl was just falling off the radar, and they say now they've got a problem. There's so much demand for vinyl that they got to restart some of these old vinyl pressing plants.
Yeah.
And they have to build. They say they're going to have to build a new one. They're talking to people that used to know how these things work. They're very intricate how it works, pressing the process of pressing the vinyl. And they say they're going to have to start up the old ones and maybe build a new one because now the demand for vinyl is getting to the point where they can't meet the demand.
I love it, though.
They're pressing 24 hours a day with some of these.
Told you I got that King's box of the box, the mono set.
How's the book in that?
I keep meaning to bring it so
I'd
you can
to
check
see
it
the
out.
Book, yeah.
It's nice, big, huge pictures.
Nice.
It's LP size.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can hold it in your hands and you can,
And you were saying the sound was just amazing.
Sound is great. Yeah. It's perfect. What I love about it is went out and got a Bluetooth turntable.
Right.
And all these people kept going,
that's so rad.
All these people were going, the Bluetooth seems useless, but for the way my house is set up, it works because I have the turntable in the hallway. It can hit my office and I have a sound bar.
Yeah.
So that's Bluetooth. And in my bedroom, I just use Amazon Alexa and it's a nice speaker. And especially when you're running things in mono, it doesn't matter if you have a huge system
or where the speakers
but
are.
But it still sounds super crisp and really, really good.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying last week, all that stuff was mixed for vinyl, for mono.
Yeah.
Until 70, people didn't even think about stereo.
You know? Yeah.
Or if they did, they put all the vocals on the left side and everything else on the right side.
Well, in the United States, I think jazz and stuff like that were classical, but they knew how to mix it already. They knew how to do it.
Right.
They weren't really doing that for rock.
And those were probably the first stereo albums.
Yeah.
For
sure.
For pop and rock, it's not until
that was all the stuff you wanted in high fidelity. Rock, you wanted low fidelity.
Well, you're thinking why? You can almost see the faces. Like, why do you need high fidelity for rock and roll?
Yeah.
Until Sgt. Pepper, and then you're like, oh,
there it is,
because you've got so much going on. Yeah.
What's going on? We got a scratching.
I had an itch.
You had an itch. Did Nacho Libre scratch that? So on your scale of 1 to 10, I want to know.
Oh, it's like a 7. 7.5, maybe 8. It was fantastic.
Yesterday was happy belated birthday to America, by the way. Yesterday was 4th of July. We went over to my mom's. Nothing was really going on, but my I had to work, and my daughter said, we got to go see Grandma for 4th of July because nobody visits her. God bless my daughter. So we go over there. My mom's like, I'm going to make you guys. She's making corn because, 4th of July. Send me a piece of that corn, eh? Send me a piece of that corn for later. That's all we kept saying.
He thrust the corn in that dude's eye.
Yes! We watched that the other night, and I forgot about that scene, busted up laughing so hard. John, where do you fall on Nacho Libre?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, so good.
Where'd you get that little hatchet? What does that go to?
It goes to
Joker.
Goes to the Joker back.
One of the Joker toys.
This whole time you've been playing with this little hatchet.
Name is Molly.
I literally got frustrated with how many times you guys were quoting it that I was just like, screwed, I have to watch this movie.
Same piece of that corn.
Oh, so good.
So I guess that makes me the only person that hasn't
seen it. You've never seen it?
Nope. Justine hasn't seen it either.
Yeah.
Justine, you're going to watch it.
We'll go see it.
It's on Netflix.
I'm going to like it.
No, she doesn't like Jack Black.
Just give it a try.
That's not gonna
work. You also don't like Mexican.
Jesus.
Ooh. I watched Ghostbusters, that new one that he just did, the Ghostbusters one.
What? Was Jack Black in the new Ghostbusters?
No,
not Ghostbusters. It's about that author.
Arthur Conan Doyle.
Oh, no. What's it called? It's that old Goosebumps. I saw Goosebumps.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a terrible movie.
Wasn't that good.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Was it really?
Yeah,
he's in. He plays R.L. Stein, right?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Did you think that was entertaining?
No.
Why did you watch that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes I like to give him a try, but it doesn't work out for me.
Anyways, Nacho Libre made me want to watch Lucha Underground.
Yes!
So it's on my queue now.
Start watching it. It's the greatest thing you've ever seen. It's so dumb, but you'll love it.
It sounds so good.
I need you to watch it, Patrick, so we can go down there and go see it. Renee just walked in. Renee, what did you think of Baby Driver? London, what did you think of Baby Driver? Give us your number rating, please.
Number rating? But hold on. Let me rating, please. I would say a 10 out of 10.
Aces.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. What were you going to say? What was your qualifier?
It's the best movie I've seen in a while.
It's certainly my favorite of 2017.
Get Out is still my number one, but this bumped Wonder Woman out of number two for
me. Couldn't give Wonder Woman the number one spot because it's a woman.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't give it the number one spot because of the last 30 minutes.
Say that.
Other than that, it was great. Gal Gadot is one of my favorite performances of 2017, that's for sure.
She's our third favorite.
She was pregnant in that one.
Was she?
Yeah, the reshoots.
Really? Yeah. She was pregnant.
Yeah, not the whole
thing. For Wonder Woman?
Yeah, for Wonder Woman.
Oh, I thought she was pregnant like for the Batman Superman movie.
She probably was.
But she has two kids.
Oh, there you go.
She just drops them out because she's Wonder Woman.
I see.
They just come out.
I see.
Fully formed, made of clay.
Made of clay, and then Zeus breathes life into them.
Yeah, it was a great movie, and it was different, wasn't it? It was nice to go to the movie and feel. I love going to the movies when you see something different, and you get that feeling of, like, this is something I haven't seen before.
Well, think about it. It wasn't a sequel or a reboot, which automatically, I was looking at the list of things we wanted to see this summer. It's like the only thing that isn't like an original movie, you know?
Yeah.
Everything else is a reboot or a sequel or a remake.
It was fun, too. It's just, it was something, and I love the fact that I went into it not knowing anything.
And I was telling my wife, it was an R-rated movie that didn't feel...
It was R?
It was, yeah, it didn't feel
really?
Like... I think because of the F-bombs.
I think it was the violence. All those people shot in the head.
There were, but they didn't show it. It wasn't gratuitous violence.
So you get an R from all the F-bombs?
Oh, yeah, you can only drop one F-bomb in a PG-13.
Oh, well,
the only real violence, I was going to say, that you really see on screen is when, you know, somebody gets the shaft through the chest.
Well, it's the guy in the trunk, you know.
You didn't
see it.
It's funny that we think that that's so mild now compared to all, you know.
Back in the 50s.
Thank you, Paul Verhoeven.
Well, it is funny. In America, the bloodletting is not what gets you the R. It's the language and the sex. Yeah.
America.
Which I think Jamie Foxx is responsible for pretty much all of the swearing in that movie.
He was scary in that movie.
He was. Yeah. He was also very irritating.
Yeah.
Which I loved. But
when he finally gets it, you're like, okay, now we don't have to see him anymore.
Yeah, thank God.
It was a relief.
And then Don Draper goes crazy.
Don Draper goes nuts.
He didn't seem like a bad guy in my eyes, though.
Justine was watching, and he's like doing all these terrible things, and she's still like, damn.
There's like hearts in my eyes.
She literally said.
He could do no wrong.
She literally said he can still get it.
Yeah.
I did.
Wow.
After the movie, I was like, John Hamm can get it.
Did you watch Mad Men?
I did.
Yeah, Mad Men's great. He's a favorite. And he's really nice in real life.
I met him.
I have a photo with John Hamm. I don't like showing it to people because it makes him look bad.
He has times, though, where he looks really weird in Mad Men. He kind of looks constipated. He makes this weird staring look. I don't know.
And he goes,
you got to look on. Yeah, you got to look on YouTube and find the Don Draper says what. It's just like a whole. What? It's like a 2-minute clip of John Hamm
all
saying
the different
what.
Ways he said what.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What? it's a whole clip reel.
What? We played it one time on here. I think it was before you guys were here.
I think he did that for Conan O'Brien or something.
So we also wanted to talk about. We talked about this, and we found out a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about it a little bit, and the day after. Oh wait, hold on. Here it is. Here we go.
Voice get deeper.
said they should do that with Keanu Reeves and all the whoa.
Yeah. Well, they did it with Owen Wilson. They've done all the oh wows. Oh wow.
Oh wow.
Wow. we were talking earlier. Okay, so a few weeks ago we talked about Phil Lord and Chris Miller being taken off of of the
Young Hansel.
Of the Young Han Solo movie. And then the day after we recorded, they announced that Ron Howard is now taking over to handle the reshoots.
That's right.
And kind of edit the movie.
That's right.
But it's also being reported, because they said, well, we had creative differences. It's now being reported that the star of the film is actually the one who blew the whistle, because he felt that they were making it too much of a comedy. Mm. So they were aiming to make it a comedy, which might explain why you have Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. And they were really trying to do something a little bit more along the lines of a straight comedy.
So he's the one that said,
that's what's being reported.
I'm not comfortable.
I like that guy a lot.
That's what's being reported. So what do you guys think of that? Would you have bought Han Solo, Young Han Solo, as a comedy? Because he's a funny guy. He's a funny character.
I know, but I've been saying all along, why even make it? I don't even understand why we need a Young Han Solo movie.
Yeah, I think this is just another...
Even if you love the character, why do you need a Young Han Solo movie? You're never going to be able to pull that off.
I think...
No matter who's... And I like that actor. He was really good in Hail Caesar.
Yeah, you know? And Beautiful Creatures.
That's right. Really he good. Was very good in that.
And so we can't ever say his name.
It's not that he's... It's like, it sounds like you say it and you go gazoom-tight. It doesn't seem like a movie that needs to be made. So, no matter who's playing Han Solo... But what can you do?
So the
fact that they were going to make it like real funny and real comedic,
I don't like that.
I can understand why they'd say, well, listen, it can't be an outright comedy all the way through. That's not what Star Wars is, you know?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They were like, I can never.
You know, that was a crapshoot because they thought these guys were irreverent. Maybe they'll come up with a different angle. And it's like, no, they just wanted to make a comedy. So you can understand where, you know, they're like, no.
Yeah, and apparently it was the... It was the I can't think of the kid's name.
It's because we can't ever say it.
I can never say it.
It starts with an E, right?
It almost sounds like the guy from Baby Driver, Ansel Elgort. This guy's like, what is it? It's I can't ever think of it. It's similar. It's a German name. It's
Alden Ehrenreich.
There you go.
There it is.
Alden Ehrenreich.
So you put those two in a movie together, and like everyone's going to be tripping over their tongues.
Even with Ron Howard doing, I'm still worried it's not going to be good.
Yeah, me too.
I think I agree with you. I'm on the same page, John. I don't think it's necessary.
It's not.
I would have rather seen a superfluous character movie.
Say that again?
Superfluous.
There you go.
I know.
Like Boba Fett. I mean, he's wearing a helmet.
Boba Fett.
You can get away with...
Boba Fett where?
Where's Boba Fett?
Yeah, that would have been good. Or, you know, something...
Something that's not so iconic. Like,
exactly.
Like, how are you possibly going to be able to do a character that was Harrison Ford played to perfection? How are you going
to
top
There's no reason to do it.
They're doing it anyway, and they're three-fourths of the way through?
Yeah, well, it's mostly shot. They're replacing him 6 months into the production.
So, you know.
So principal photography was done.
The people that scream bloody murder that it's Ron Howard, I mean, God, Apollo 13, this guy can make a good movie.
Well, he can, but I think my
friend... He did Willow, too, if you think that he knows nothing of the George Lucas universe.
My friend Bobo always points out that... My friend Bobo always points out... Sorry to interrupt you there, Justine. Mm-hmm. That... Ron Howard movies are good, but ultimately inconsequential. That's a great way to put it. They're good, solid, workmanlike films. But
I would agree with that, except for something like A Beautiful Mind or Apollo 13. Those don't.
Didn't he do Super 8 too?
No, that was
a new guy.
That was Abrams. That was J.J.
Oh, yeah, it was Abrams.
Well, at that time he was a new guy. Not so much anymore.
Didn't Ron Howard do something recently?
Well, he's always got something out.
You got Captain Phillip.
Now I got to look it up now. It's going to bother me.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. A lot of times his movies are good, and you go, well, that was good, but it doesn't feel like it's got a lot of weight to it. But A Beautiful Mind did feel like it had some weight to it.
I feel like it is the one
and
thing.
Apollo 13.
The one thing I like about it is it's poetic because you have Ron Howard, who basically jump-started his career
with American Graffiti,
which starred Harrison Ford. And here it is.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies.
That's a great movie.
Mine too.
Another great soundtrack.
And that's where it all begins. The idea of having all these songs floating around on a soundtrack, it all starts with American Graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think it's very ballsy for Happy Days to just put... We're basically going to rip off the opening of American Graffiti.
Well, rip off the whole damn movie.
Yeah.
And also, what's interesting about American Graffiti is that's the last time – it's one of the last times a movie did that with a soundtrack. And that was also in real time.
Yeah.
You're hearing it on jukeboxes and radios and cars and stereos. And so that was another thing where it's not there just to be on the soundtrack. It's supposed to be floating in from the source material, you know.
Yeah. So, I love it.
Yeah.
What are you guys looking up over there?
His movies.
Who?
And you're Ron Howard.
Name them. Go. What's the most recent?
And there's a lot of lightweight stuff, but there's some, there's
the
a few
Dark
that
Tower.
Are that are real gems.
Oh, he's doing The Dark Tower?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he also did The Grinch, Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, there's a lot of lightweight stuff, but I bet Backdraft. You I bet you could come up with like four.
Don't you dare slam Backdraft, there. Man. Martin will be in here tearing you a new
it's
one.
It's not a bad movie. I'm just saying. I agree. It's the same thing that you said. It's
he's
his movies
miss.
Don't stand
What's
out.
What's my favorite part of Backdraft? What is my favorite part of Backdraft?
I have no idea.
When the warehouse is burning and Kurt Russell grabs a fire extinguisher and throws it into the flames. That's the equivalent of emptying your gun into a monster and then throwing him at it.
Right, which always happens. Mm-hmm. Or like Superman, the old Superman show. They'd fire, they're out of bullets, they throw the gun at Superman. And it's like, yeah, that's going to work.
The bullets didn't do it.
And it usually ties the gun into a knot.
I'm more and more concerned about that. I wasn't on board with it to begin with, but it just sounds like it's starting to sound more and more like the worst idea in the world. You know?
I don't know. We'll see.
So
it's the first Star Wars movie I'm not going to feel like I need to run right out and see it the first day. You know,
kind of like it's the Cars 3 of Star Wars movies.
I mean, I'll go see it right away because it's Star Wars and you kind of have to. But I'm not as enthused as something like Rogue One or you know.
And it'll be a big surprise if it is going to be Force a Awakens. Real big surprise. You know what I mean? We'll be like really? Wow.
And if it turns out great, you know, that'll be, I agree, it'll be huge.
It'd be great if we were wrong, you know?
Now let's, I hope we're wrong. I like being wrong. Like when I say the Dodgers are, you know, probably going to blow it. And then if I'm wrong, but I haven't been wrong, that's the problem. Anyway, guys, another, we're going to address another controversy here on the show, as you may have heard. And on my feed, this has taken precedence over such things as people getting their health insurance taken away because I'm actually seeing petitions about this and haven't seen one about people losing their insurance. But Disney has decided to change the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that's right. I'm surprised we're not doing a whole show just on that.
So for those of you that don't know, but it's all over social media. You know, so what if we're in bed with the Russians? They're changing the goddamn Pirates of the
Caribbean.
It's
amazing what people get upset about.
Yeah.
That they'll march for that.
Yeah. So in the famous wench scene when they're saying, show them your larboard side. We want the redhead. No need to expose your superstructure. They're going to change that now. She's going to be a pirate, and people are going to be bringing – the townspeople will now be bringing treasure and laying it.
It sounds lame. So if you have to replace it, which is a bad idea anyway, that's a really lame thing to replace it with.
Well, they replaced it when they showed – before it was the guy. I remember that when I was little, the guys chasing the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I remember going on it. I'm like, now the girls have food
and they're chasing the girl.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But –
you know, it's funny. One of the guys that worked on the original said, you know, this isn't Cub Scouts of the Caribbean. It's Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates did some pretty terrible stuff. Yeah. If it's a pirate ride, you know, it's supposed to be like 1740. What are you worried about? We're not saying this is now, you know.
Hey, it's 1874. You'll be able to sue her.
And the thing is, they have changed it so much. And then when they changed... I'll
that was
tell
Blazing
you,
Saddles.
For when they changed all the stuff, like they put Johnny Depp in there and Jeffrey...
Jeffrey Rush.
That for me was like, okay, it's just not the same ride anymore.
That to me is what's making me laugh is that people are mad. They go, you can't change this ride. They've already done it.
Yeah. And this is like the fourth time they've changed it. It's no longer the ride it was when we were kids. Yeah.
So why is everybody
there's hardly anything left. Now there's hardly anything that's original except for like the skeletons at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
When you think about what's left that was original, you know?
So why is everybody making a big deal?
I don't know.
Let it go, man. What do you think, Patrick?
I miss the originals, but it's going to change. It's going to happen inevitably, and you can't really control it. They're going to do what they want to do.
That's less Paul Frees we'll be getting. That's the only thing that bums me out.
That's the thing. Every time they change it, you get less Paul Frees. Because he was the voice of the pirate at the beginning.
Yep, which is now Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah, so every time they pull something out, you're getting less Paul Frees. That's right.
Which is that's Haunted Mansion.
That's the sound of the Pirates of the Caribbean. It's the sound of the Haunted Mansion,
I don't care that they're changing it. Yeah. I just think it's hilarious. I love to see Disney people whine. I love how upset they get.
Somebody said, I am never coming to Disneyland again.
Good.
And it's like,
good, perfect. Awesome.
It's like, really?
You mean you didn't move to Canada when Obama got elected the second time? What are you still doing here? What I love is I got on the way, and like all these people are going, these effing liberals. F's and liberals, oh, political correctness. It's like, hey, I got news for you. Right now, liberals have a little more to worry about than rides at Disneyland. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
a full plate of stuff that liberals are worried about.
If this is all you had to worry about, you know, you'd fall to your knees and
I've actually seen more, but I've seen more petitions on my Facebook feed about this than saving people from getting thrown off insurance.
Well, you've got the right response. It's like, why don't you put all this energy towards something important?
Yeah.
The Disney fanatics are still going to go ride it.
Yeah, but I love when Disney announces any kind of change. It's like, we're changing Guardians of the Galaxy from Tower of Terror. That's so stupid. That's the worst idea ever. 7-hour wait times the day it opens.
Yep.
7 hours.
Because for all the people that hate it, you've got, you got 100 people that love it.
Well, it's also people that are going to complain and still go fork over money. Yeah. There's a reason they charge $1,000 for an annual pass, and there's no signs of them because people will fork over the money. Mm. As much as they complain, they love it.
It's still Disney.
They love it.
Yeah.
And I love calling people out on that. You don't like it, don't go.
Yeah, and my brother, he just doesn't go anymore. He's like, because he says for years now, they've just been ripping out stuff that's cool, and he just says, it just isn't the same park anymore.
Yeah, God bless him for not going.
He says, I don't want him to get another dollar of my money. He says, I'm going to vote with my,
that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Justine, what do you think of this Pirates, the changes to Pirates?
I don't care.
Neither do I.
That's the proper response. I don't care.
That's just the only thing. Like I said, when they changed that part, I was just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. It's a different story.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the fourth time they've ripped something out of that ride. People are still going to go. It's still the Pirates.
London, you're a young man. How old are you?
I'm 20.
So how do you feel? Do you care, or do you go to Disneyland a lot?
Yeah. Actually, when I moved to California, I'm pretty sure I've gone to Disneyland over 100 times now.
That's awesome.
We had annual passes.
So you love Disneyland?
Not really.
Yeah, you went 100 times.
Damn.
Because
you loved it.
My family.
It's something to do.
My family loves Disneyland.
Okay. How's your family taking this news?
They really don't care. I mean, the only person in my family that cares is my dad. Because that's the only ride he loves at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that ride.
Do you...
Oh, really?
You hate Pirates of the Caribbean?
He asked me to,
there, and I worked
he asked
right
me
next
to pour
to
out his ashes on that ride.
Really? Are you going to do it?
I mean, maybe, if I don't get in trouble.
I love it. Maybe. who's going
to
know?
I already told you guys what you're supposed to do with me.
Your ashes?
Cremate me, and then Shawshank my ashes into the field at Dodger Stadium on Friday Night Fireworks. You know what I mean? Great Escape. Yeah. Put the socks with the dirt inside and spread them out. Yeah. Kick it with your feet. Yep. Yeah. That's what you guys are going to do for me.
Okay.
You guys are all going to do it. So swear.
What did you
I was swear to me. Swear to me.
God damn it. Do it.
I'll do it.
Yeah, thank you. And
I'll wear a Giants hat while I'm doing it. And then
your ashes
questions.
Will bite you.
They'll be like, no, I'm bearing a Dodgers fan. It's cool.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
The ashes will be all form of rattlesnake. It'll bite you on the arm.
Yeah, love it.
No, I was going to ask you. So you're younger. So you have you been to Pirates of the Caribbean pre the movies or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you remember what all that stuff looked like before they stuck Johnny Depp in there?
Yeah, that's what
I was wondering.
And
they put the platters of food. They're chasing the women for the food.
Get it? Because pirates are hungry.
Because they're hungry. They're pirates.
Pirates are hungry.
Sir,
but they're also thirsty.
Corn dog.
Got to take care of that scurvy.
Yeah, you never know. Got to eat those limes.
There's two ways of looking at it. You know, Disneyland has always been ripping shit out. Even when Disney was alive, they ripped stuff out. Yeah. And he always said, it's never going to look the same. It's never going to be finished. We're always going to be doing stuff.
You want that peach fuzz?
You know.
Yeah. He always wanted it to always change.
Like, the thing, this rides it, like, after, like, opening day, 9 weeks later, they were ripping stuff out, going, that doesn't work. He was ruthless. He's like, that doesn't work. That corner's, we'll put something else in that corner.
We don't need a circus.
Yeah. The Phantom Boats, it's like, nope.
Flying saucers.
They're boring. Mm-hmm. Out they go. So he was not necessarily sentimental. He was like, nope, let's put something better in there,
Yeah, but everybody...
When you're a kid, you remember the way the park looked, and then you want it to stay that way.
I love when people pull that argument. They're like, Walt would never do that.
It's like, yes, Walt would be the first one to say, it's not selling tickets, out it goes. He really was. Just like, nope, it's got to go. Even with the movies. They said with the animated films, like Snow White ran like an extra 20 minutes. He says, this scene is, it's beautifully animated. This scene where they're like making dinner for her or something like that. He says, nope, it's slowing it down. It's got to go. And they're like, we just spent 9 months animating this. It's slowing the film down. It's got to go. So he was always about, it's got to move the story forward,
That's crazy.
It wouldn't just be, he wouldn't be one of these guys that, I can't edit it. You see these movies that are like 3 hours long because I can't part with that footage.
Walt would be like, nope.
He's all, no, it's got to move the story forward. It's got to go.
just
And that's all hand drawn.
I just know. Like, gotta go.
What were you going to say, Justine?
I remember the first time I went back to Disneyland from having a pass when I was little, and they just finished California Adventure. But I remember going to the park where you saw the green grass on the wall, and you would turn in, then you would see the Disneyland sign, that old Disneyland with the flags.
Yep, yep.
And I was like, oh, I know where I'm at, and like, it'd be cool because you'd park right there in front of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I went there like years later, and they had we were driving there, I didn't know where we were anymore, and then we got to the front. And I saw California Adventure was now where that parking lot used to be.
Yeah, that was the parking lot. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I bawled. I was crying. I was just in shock.
Because it's
I was
childhood
in shock
memories.
And I was like,
yeah, yeah.
Wait, we're not taking that little tram. We're not parking all the way down. I'm not in front of it. Like, the whole view of it just changed.
Everyone's got childhood memories. Like the e-ticket. You know, you had the ticket book and you'd rip out the tickets.
The great thing about the parking in front was you would see, as you were a kid, you would see Disney looming ahead of you and getting closer and closer, and you just couldn't wait. You're like, oh, we're on the tram. Okay, we're almost there. Okay, there's
you
a train.
See it.
We're in line for tickets. Okay, we're in. You know, and there's the flower, and then, you know, that was.
Now
you
get an hour before you get near the entrance.
Yeah, so you're
in some parking complex.
Yeah. Well, you see Mickey really fast. If you're in the parking lot, you see all the Mickey pictures, you get in the tram, you see everything that's Mickey leading up to it. So, I mean, you get excited early on.
Yeah, so I get that.
Patrick doesn't care. He's a big fan of Great America Park and Discovery Kingdom.
Where?
Well, he didn't,
what is that?
You didn't move down here until you were in high school.
I went to Disneyland before I moved down here.
But I'm saying you didn't go a lot when you were little, though.
We used to go like every year.
Where'd you grow up?
Sonoma, Northern California.
Oh.
That's why I'm a Giants fan.
I see.
Also because you're stupid.
Stupid. But you're stupid.
I guess.
London, where did your family move from?
I'm actually from Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
So sorry.
Boy, I'll bet you miss being in Denver now. Am I right? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. just kidding.
smoke I don't. Weed.
So had you been out here before? Have you been out to Disneyland when you were a kid? You would come out to Disneyland?
Okay. Yeah.
That's the thing. Everybody. If there's one family trip, you'd go to Disneyland.
And so I understand when people – but I like the – you know –
but there's a limit to how much outrage you should be expressing, especially in 2017. Mm-hmm. There's a limit to how outraged you should be about a ride at Disneyland when the country may not make it another 4 years. Oh, I really hate the fact that they ripped out Washington and put in a dictatorship. How about you write a letter about that? Oh, I remember when it used to be a democracy. Yeah. Why do they always have to ruin it?
I remember when there were scientists on climate change.
Science.
But it's just like the Winnie the Pooh ride. They still have those heads up from the theater from watching
that
Fairmont.
That's
so
right.
If
that's
you're
right.
on the Winnie the Pooh ride, you look up.
That's right.
They Winnie still the Pooh have the ride. Heads.
That was the Bear Country Jamboree.
I can't fit on that
ride. I was just going to say, you're a tall guy. You have the same problem I do.
Yeah.
My knees are up to my jaw.
Yeah. It's a kiddie ride, right? You have to cross your legs.
Yeah.
Like on Space Mountain.
That's a kiddie ride, right?
How tall are you?
Winnie the 6'5".
Oh, man. You need to take a couple inches off of that. 6'5".
But I mean, how do they design a ride? How does they design a ride that a parent can't ride on with their kid?
Yeah, it's weird. Have you ever been on the Winnie the Pooh ride?
Yeah, and you're like, if you're 4 or older, you're like, why did they rip out Country Bear Jamboree for this?
Why can't you guys just spread
your
legs?
When you're tripping LSD,
if you're sitting next to someone, you can't.
Yeah, because it's pretty much like this big.
Do you just man spread right in there?
You have
just
to
get
recline,
in there.
You have
I've
to
never
lounge
had that problem.
Sideways. Yeah.
Go ahead.
My
get
problem
it.
Is my foot's not touching the ground.
There you go. I love it, though. I will ride Pirates over. And the fact that people are mad about it makes me just want to. I want them to change the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to change the whole thing now. I don't want it to be
change
Pirates.
The whole thing.
Yep.
Change the whole thing. Well, the only thing that's left is the guy going down the well, you know, spitting the water out.
Yeah, by the
I
way.
Don't think there's anything left.
By the way, everybody's outraged about this. I'm pretty sure I've heard a woman say, don't be chicken for like the last 50 years. Nobody's writing letters about that.
That hasn't changed. The guy
why don't they rip that person out of the that robot?
Don't be chicken.
John, the guy in the well's gone. They replaced him with Jack Black. Not Jack Black.
Johnny Depp. Right?
Yeah, Johnny Depp in the well.
No, he's not.
Yeah, it is.
He's not in the well. No, he's not.
I think he's to the side.
No,
well.
he's
looking around the wall.
He's
right?
In a
yeah,
barrel,
he's hiding.
Isn't he?
But the guy spitting the water is not.
No, that's
well.
Yeah, it is.
Is it still?
He's still there.
Oh, that's right.
He switched it. He's still there.
And Johnny Depp is hiding in the barrel.
He's,
that used to
yeah,
be
he's
a
in
girl.
The barrel. That's
they used
the first
to be a girl, and
him.
The guy had his her dress. You know,
he pops out.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
You are wrong.
Okay,
that ride's really boring.
But not in a bad way.
Okay,
that ride's really boring.
What was the other thing?
That's all the bases.
You know, I'm glad that they hadn't like changed a bunch of stuff at the Haunted Mansion, because that works. And it's hard.
Well, that's very politically incorrect too. You can't be talking about the dead.
You can't have dead people popping out of graves.
They did change stuff though in that one.
Not
they
too
did
much.
The attic scene.
Well, you
now.
Can't change things with the dead, because that's how you get Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, that's right.
The thing in the attic, I think the hat box guy.
It was good.
I think that was something that was supposed to be in the original ride that they took
and the
out.
Bride.
Yeah.
That bride, that whole scene is new.
Those were things that were supposed to be their opening day, and they kind of ripped them out. Yeah. Mm. Right. I think.
It's old.
It's what? Oh, you don't care about those?
I really don't like.
Do you like the Pirates
like
of the Caribbean?
Both of those. I think they're just boring rides
really?
That just move.
What's your
slowly.
Favorite ride?
Say Mr.
Those are wait till you have kids. You're going to love those rides.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
With Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
The best one is Mr. Lincoln. You can sleep. If you have kids and you're tired, you just sleep.
Mr. Toad is great because I don't know why everybody's complaining, but nobody complains about the fact that you go to hell.
That's great.
That
it's all warm.
It's all hot. It's that hot, moist air.
Yeah.
Why has nobody ever said, this is offending Christians. We're going to have to rip this out.
That ride used to scare the hell out of me, but I loved it.
Literally.
Yeah.
Every kid loves that movie, and what's great about that is most kids have not seen that movie, so it's just a great ride.
I love it. By the way, there's a hidden Sherlock Holmes in that.
Is there?
Yeah. I won't tell you where. Next time, so that's your...
It'll be years before I go again.
For all you eagle-eyed listeners out there...
There's a Sherlock Holmes hidden in Mr. Toad.
Because remember, it takes place in London.
I remember where it is.
That's my name.
That's right. He's named after the Mr. Toad ride.
Dang, they said the name.
What?
Bad joke.
What's your favorite ride at Disneyland, Justine? Let me guess. All right, let's all try to guess.
Great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
I'm going to say...
that's way more fun.
I know what her favorite ride at California Adventures is, so that one's eliminated. Ariel.
I hate what they did with that.
Why?
Oh, she hates her hair.
I hate the way she looks. I hate that they made the ride that old.
You know what? I have not seen that ride. So there's a Little Mermaid ride.
It's a dark ride. It would fit right in Fantasyland.
Yeah.
And they put it in California Adventure by the wharf, right?
I thought they were going to make it cool because like the Nemo ride was cool with the TV. Like you can see them going through and interacting with you.
No, they made it old school, like it's, with animatronic.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look good.
It wasn't done well.
I'll go on there for the music, but I don't care.
It was a quickie.
Yeah,
it's funny because they could have spent a load of money on it.
They did.
You know? And it still didn't look good.
Yeah, they went back and fixed a bunch of stuff, too.
I really hated it when it
came out. It's interesting because that's a popular movie. I think they'd want to get it right, you know?
What's your favorite Disneyland ride, Justine? Wait, we were all guessing. What are you going to guess, Lennon?
The Carousel in Fantasyland.
I was going to say that.
Nope.
I already guessed.
What'd you say?
Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
What'd you say? You know, right?
I know.
What?
I'm going to say. I'm going to say Indiana Jones.
That's a good ride.
What is it?
Space Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost said Space Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh! Space Mountain's good. Unless you ride it with the lights on.
I love riding it with the lights on.
Terrifying.
So much fun.
London and I, we can't do John and it.
That's because you think you're going to hit those girders.
Yes,
right?
It looks like you're going to hit a girder.
That's the way the Matterhorn used to be when they had the exposed wooden girders and you kept thinking, it's going to take my head off.
Yeah.
You're like cringing because you think it's going to knock your head off.
Like the first few times I rode it.
There are moments in Matterhorn, and you have to be able to do this too. If you're rounding a curve, I can reach up and actually touch the
ceiling.
I can touch the ceiling all the time.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, there are people who have died on the Matterhorn.
Well, it's people who stood up, though.
Or the kid that got trapped under the track.
You shouldn't listen to Bob Marley before you get on any roller coaster.
Get up, stand up.
Thank you, John. London, favorite ride at Disneyland.
Favorite ride?
Goo.
And then afterward, they go, no woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. At Disneyland.
What's your favorite, Patrick?
You were asking London.
But he's thinking, so we're going to jump to you.
Hold on. It's right in between Matterhorn and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, so the submarines. Hello. That's actually in the opposite direction.
Not literally.
That'd actually be Not Alice literally. In Wonderland.
Yeah. Yeah.
The teacups?
Like the teacups.
The teacups are tight, but...
They are, especially if you're a big guy.
Teacups are tight.
Yeah. Literally in favor
really
of
tight, yeah.
I love it. What's your favorite?
Thunder Mountain.
Oh, Thunder Mountain's good. Especially now that they put it all in HD. They redid some of the effects. John?
Haunted Mansion. Mm. Yeah. I mean, think about it. That's a real experience. And they don't make them like that anymore.
Well, the one thing I hate about them changing anything, I don't care, but I understand the need for them to want to change these rides because Haunted Mansion and Pirates are too. Those are so high tech for the time. Those are almost 60-year-old. 60.
And they don't make them like that anymore with the animatronics.
Yeah.
Once in a while, they'll stick in something that's animatronic.
Like, well, that's what they did with Ariel.
What, but is it animatronic or is it kind of like the Mr. Toad where it's just like a.
Like, no, yeah, like that.
It's, where it's barely.
Yeah, they're
moving.
Like.
She, they did animatronic yeah. with her. She's animatronic
her,
in the ride.
Ursula,
her
too.
Hair.
Her hair is. Crazy.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
Because, like, with some of those old dark rides, when Disneyland opened, they were like cardboard flats almost,
yeah.
you know, with day-glow paint. You know?
Yeah. Hmm. I love that.
What's your favorite?
Small World.
Space Mountain or... I like Small World. What's
Space Mountain.
It is a good...
Space Mountain or Star Tours.
Star Tours, yeah.
Or Matterhorn.
I get a headache now on Star Tours.
Yeah, I always get seasick
on Star Tours. I miss the original Star Tours.
Well, you know what? I do too, but... Things change.
Yeah, it is.
Fight through it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was more bothered when I got older with Small World because I could see the bottom. Like when you're a kid, you can really just see like the figurines and everything. That's it. But when you get older, you can like actually see down to the
bottom. Oh, it's like
I could always see the bottom.
It's like because he's tall. He was like
fucking tall.
Yeah, I was like the biggest fucking like fifth grader. No joke. There's a picture of me in my yearbook of like. These kids are like this tall compared
as
to me.
As the chaperone.
And I'm trying to like hunch down.
But you were
look,
like a
like
gentle
everybody.
Giant, right? Everybody loved you.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Were, yeah. You weren't like
I'm a giant teddy bear.
Yeah. That's why we love you. You want a hug?
Yeah, sure.
We're going to give hugs.
I'll hug anybody.
I love it. You heard him here, guy. You heard him here, guy.
But with the exposed floor, you see how they did the water and it looks kind of cool with the
no,
cutout.
No.
I don't know.
No.
I could always see the. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't see the bottom of the caverns inside the mine train at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh yeah,
and that used to freak me out because I'd be like, "Are we how high?" Then you get to be just a little tall, you're like, "Oh yeah, we're like 3 feet up." Yeah,
and I think they've remodeled that, haven't they?
I could literally step down.
Did
into
they tear that out? I think they did some major remodeling on that.
No, it's still there. The Rick
did
caverns
they?
Are still there. Yeah,
I thought they were going to do some major still remodeling.
Been.
On
I've
it.
Never,
no, they just
I've never
they
been
just
to
refixed
Knott's.
It.
Because that was really super old. That's older than anything at Disneyland, I think, for original rides.
You know what? I found that recently doing research. That and the log ride were all designed by the same guy, and he did all the work by himself.
Yeah.
He basically worked alone. I used to make fun of the log ride because it basically had mannequins with like strings in them going, you know, just moving back and forth.
Yeah.
Really, really low level. But when you think that the guy designed all of the caverns and did all of like the all that stuff.
And the thing with the log ride, it's not so much it's not the figures, it's what the log is doing. That's the fun of the log ride.
Yeah.
Because yeah, as a little kid you're going, boy, they're not moving much. You know, at Disneyland they're really moving.
Yeah,
the eyebrows are moving at Disneyland.
They basically have like taxidermied animals in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's serious. It's
no,
true.
Seriously. Yeah, you got like a deer and you're like, wow, that's just a stuffed deer. You know? But the thing with Knott's was always fascinating, if you're into history, is just how old it was. It predates Disneyland. You know, the fact that they built all that, you know. What's funny is that some of that stuff, like original Ghost Town, most of it was built, but it was built like in 49. So those are now like ancient buildings.
Yeah.
Even the stuff they built to match the Ghost Town.
It's also not on a track.
Right.
Like the Disney rides, some of them are kind of free. But
yeah.
So tight to a track.
That's right.
At the log ride, you're kind of like bumping.
You are at the mercy of the water. Yeah. You're really in a flume.
You get splashed a lot more. Yeah,
that was the great thing about those cars. That Henry's auto livery, they were real cars. You could only go 5 miles an hour, but those were gasoline powered cars.
Yeah.
And if you didn't hit the the sides, you're just going any way you want to go.
Yeah.
You know,
those are fun. I like Knott's.
But those are all gone.
You got to go to Knott's. It's fun.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go.
It's fun. It's not Disneyland. Like we've quoted on the show a million years. John Sandy had the greatest quote about Knott's Berry Farm ever. He said, at Disneyland, you get robotic pirates. At Knott's Berry Farm, you get a chicken who plays the piano. But there's a certain charm to that. There's a certain charm to that.
There has to be a charm.
Yeah.
If you're into the history of like Southern California, that is the oldest ride place that's still standing.
Yeah.
Disney used to go there to see what maybe he would do with his right place.
Yeah. Speaking of historic theme parks, there's a theme park that my family always went to for like the past, I don't know, like 40 years. Because my grandmother and my grandpa out in New Mexico, they would always take these trips in minivans all the way from Farmington to Michigan.
Is it the Dells?
No. Oh, we would always go to the Dells. But this is a place in Branson, Missouri called Silver Dollar City. It's a theme park based in like in 1800s.
Oh, kind of like Knott's.
Yeah.
Kind of like Knott's.
Mm. And it's so good.
How far back does it go?
To the 1800s.
It's super old. I remember that.
I'm going to Google that.
I wonder if it predates Knott's, because Knott's, they built, you know the story, they built
it's
that
probably
stuff
around the same time.
They built it just so people had something to do when they're waiting for the chicken dinner. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a 3-hour wait.
Dinner is so good.
They started with like a it started with a Ferris wheel.
Yeah. They had that volcano with the little devil turning the thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because people would wait. I mean, that really shows you what year it was. They would wait 3 hours for a chicken dinner. They'd drive out to Buena Park where there's nothing going on. They'd wait 3 hours for a chicken dinner. There's this line snaking all the way down the road. And he says, we got to put something out there for people to look at while they're cooling their heels waiting to get dinner. So yeah, they put that little volcano, and then he bought a couple buildings from Ghost Town and put a couple animals in there, and it's like, we got to give them something to do. Pretty soon you got something that is, that's the attraction. The chicken dinner is an afterthought. You are now coming to go on the rides. But I mean, the train and all that, the stagecoach, I mean, Disney was looking at that going, how can I do my train at my place, you know?
Their ride Ghost Rider is really scary.
I love that roller coaster.
That's the wood?
That's my favorite roller coaster.
That's a great roller coaster.
Because it's a hell of a ride. It's
and
fast.
And you feel like you can die. Yes. Like, it's like, I'm going to die.
Because it's a wooden roller coaster, so you really do feel like,
I'm
going to
be in that newspaper. That
Yeah, and there's no, and the safety restraint isn't like, it's like not an elaborate harness. It's basically the Big Thunder Mountain, just like a lap thing. You pull down and it's like, good luck.
And you're going over the parking lot.
And you see the sparks coming off the back. Like when it rounds the corner, you can see sparks coming off.
It drops, you go, what if I just go straight through the wood?
Yeah.
It just, this is the one time
it's
not going to.
The wood just like moves a little bit.
Yeah. The wood gives. So
because with wooden roller coasters, they have to tighten those bolts every day. They walk the tracks tightening the bolts because they kind of come loose.
And also, it changes. The ride is different depending on the weather.
Is that right?
The wood react, like the wood is tighter when it's hot and it expands when it's,
Jesus, what a lot to worry about.
So if you ride it like at different times, it feels different.
Wow.
Because,
that's my favorite roller coaster.
Yeah,
it's a good one. Get out there. Oh. Let's go. You could buy a Knott's Pass for like $100.
It's the cheapest pass now. And like just walking in is under $100, right?
Still haven't been.
You've never been?
Oh, we talked about this on a show.
We're going to a field trip. We're going to go to Knott's all together. Let's take a day and go.
Are you going to record it?
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna go.
And we'll get the chicken dinner.
That's a good episode.
I still haven't had the chicken dinner.
Yeah. The Thursday. Okay, here's this. The Thursday, my wife is out of town. We go to Knott's.
I'm on vacation. It's next week, right?
I'm off on
July 20 something.
No, I might work again.
No, you get the day off. We're gonna go.
I'm off on Thursday, so I'll try to.
It's either I'm off on Wednesday or I'm off on Thursday. Right.
Well, we're gonna wrap it up because we went off on a big tangent.
So let's go to Knott's.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Knott's, eat some chicken dinner and some boysenberry pie and funnel cake.
Then we'll go on the roller coaster and throw it up.
Knott's came up with their jam, didn't they? There was a name that they...
Well, they invented the boysenberry, right?
There it was, yeah.
Yeah, because it was the guy that worked for Knott was Boysen, I think.
Yeah.
If I got that right. They did a hybrid, and he said, we'll call it the boysenberry.
Yep.
That's it.
I heard that. That was cool.
Love it. All right, guys. So for John, for Patrick, for the lovely Justine, and for our new friend London, he's a lurker, but now he's on. He doesn't lurk. He works here. So sometimes he comes in. But now we sat him down, and we made him talk about Disneyland. And he
I'll talk about anything.
Whoa. All right. That sounds like a challenge. All right.
The next show.
We will see you guys next time. Fight the power. This transmission ends now.